Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's a unique morning. It's a special morning. It's Vision Sunday. And now for the beginning of the third straight calendar year, we pause to look backward, celebrating evidences of your grace in this church over this last year. And we also pause in this moment to look forward, to all that you might be pleased to do through the body of Christ that is Mount Evangelical Free Church in the year 2017. Father, we have big plans, and yet you are the one who sovereignly orders our steps. And so we present our plans to you. Father, we want to be the kind of church that strains forward so hard after our vision that even if we don't accomplish all that we desire, that we would fall on our faces toward this vision by January 2020, that we would give everything that we have to see what you might be pleased to do with this congregation. And so come now and use this unique time of conversation and of word and of preaching to do something unique, Lord, and prepare us for the year ahead in our 2020 vision in order to complete our mission to be and make disciples of Jesus, in whose name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Andy just read for us the words of the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. These are Jesus' marching orders for his church in the first century, and they are just as relevant for us as a church in the 21st century, if not more. Jesus says to us today, no less than 2,000 years ago, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you even to the end of the age." And we believe in the Great Commission in this church. We take this mandate, these words of our Lord, with utter seriousness. The Great Commission isn't simply an historical idea for us. It is a present reality for us. It's the very mission of our church, because the mission of Mount Evangelical Free Church is to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's that daunting, and it's that simple. The mission of Mount Evangelical Free Church is to be and make disciples of Jesus. Jesus says in Mark 1:17, he says, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." We've said it before and we'll say it again. Mark 1:17 then isn't just a call to ministry. It's actually a philosophy of ministry, if you think about it. It's not simply what we ought to be about, but how we ought to be about it. "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Mark 1:17 is the way that Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, works. Do you want to fish for people? Follow Jesus. He'll make you a fisher of people. So the mission of Mount Evangelical Free Church is also the philosophy of ministry of Mount Evangelical Free Church. So our mission, our philosophy, is to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, about 10 years ago, our leaders began to develop a vision statement. Back in 2007, we weren't calling this the 2020 vision. We didn't have an inkling about that yet. We were simply looking for a way to capture in a few words what it would look like for our mission to be in motion, to be in action. That's what a good vision statement does. It's a picture of a mission statement in action and at work. And so the better part of a decade ago, we began to say it this way. Our vision is to glorify God by being a gospel-centered church family who celebrates and demonstrates and communicates the good news of Jesus Christ among all people. Now, I love that sentence. I would give my right arm for that truth. But at the end of the day, it still comes up short as a full-fledged vision statement because there's just too much left out. Specifically, the what and the how and the when of the vision statement. That first sentence is an awfully good start, but it's incomplete. It's a partial vision. It's maybe a preamble to a vision, but not the vision itself. So roughly 2.5 to 3 years ago, your elders began to gather with intentionality at our elder meetings and then finally at a retreat in the fall of 2014 to hammer out what we now call our 2020 vision. We want to capture and think through just exactly what it might look like to be celebrating, demonstrating, and communicating the good news of Jesus Christ. And so if you're going to do that, well, let's set some goals for our church. Let's step on the scale a little bit here and see if we can measure some things. And this is where the wheels began to hit the road for us. And so 2 years ago, we unveiled and we publicly cast for the first time what we now call our 2020 vision. That means that in January of 2015, we began to publish and pursue 7 goals that, as a leadership and as a congregation, we want to see realized and become a reality for us by January of 2020. So it's a 5-year plan, if you like. And since that time, we have sought to preach on the 2020 vision annually. We have gathered to pray over the 2020 vision monthly, as well as periodically in all of our community groups. Our elders in our close shepherding of this congregation have spent slow time with most, if not all of you, discussing the 2020 vision one-on-one or in a family. And now we're 2 years into that 2020 vision, 24 months down the road. We got 3 years ahead of us, 36 months to go. We're not quite at that midway point. How are we doing? Wouldn't you like to take stock a little bit and see kind of where we're at? Are we achieving our goals? Well, let's find out. This is annual Vision Sunday. Again, this is not the normal way that we do preaching in this church. As you know, we have been working through the Gospel of Luke, and Lord willing, we'll pick up Luke in the next verse next week and chase Luke all the way to the end throughout 2017. But this is a unique Sunday. We want to take an unflinching look at our 2020 vision. We will look back over the last 12 months for evidences of God's grace to see just how he's been enabling us to realize this vision, and he has. We'll also, by God's grace, seek to look forward into 2017 to make some fresh resolutions as a congregation to see what the Lord may be calling us to do in order to fulfill the 2020 vision. So let's get started. The mission of Mount Evangelical Free Church is to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Therefore, our 2020 vision is to glorify God as a gospel-centered church family by celebrating and demonstrating and communicating the good news of Jesus Christ among all people by, number one, baptizing 50 new believers. Baptizing 50 new believers. That's our first goal, first point on your outline. Now, the first goal is far and away the most important goal. Therefore, I plan to spend about half of our time this morning on number one. This is the engine that drives the 2020 vision. Given our church's passion for sound doctrine, for well-ordered church life, and the growing culture of leadership around this place, my sense is if God grants us this first goal, the rest of it's going to come along for the ride. I'm confident of that. But we need to park here for a bit and consider just what baptizing 50 new believers means. And before we seek to evaluate this, I want to be painstakingly clear as to what we're talking about. This goal is about what we sometimes call conversion growth. Conversion growth, which means this. This is how I would define that. Conversion growth is the numerical growth of a congregation through people who have been freshly born again by God's grace through faith in Jesus and then made a public profession of that faith through water baptism. That's how I define conversion growth. I'll say it one more time. The numerical growth of a congregation through people, through individual persons, men, women, boys, girls, who have been freshly born again by God's grace through faith in Jesus and then made a public profession of that faith through water baptism. That's what we mean by conversion growth. which means that conversion growth is the sort of church growth that comes through the supernatural act of God, whereby he raises unbelievers from the dead in their trespasses and sins and brings them to a place of alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's the work of God. Conversion growth is the sort of growth that doesn't merely shuffle Christ's sheep from one pen to another, but rather creates sheep by the miraculous work of the Word of God and the Spirit in somebody's heart. This is about being baptized into union with Christ and therefore baptized into water as a symbol of that union. You've been immersed into Jesus, you should get immersed into water. Go public with your faith. Baptism doesn't save you. It's an expression that you already are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Both of these aspects of the word baptism, I think, are at work in the Great Commission when Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is he talking about union with Christ or water baptism there? My answer is, Yeah. And so what's happening in our church on this front? Is conversion growth happening at Mount Evangelical Free Church? Well, I've got good news and I've got bad news on this front. Let's begin with the good news. The good news is that the answer to that question is yes. Yes. Conversion growth is happening in our fellowship. On August 28th of this past year, our congregation celebrated two new creations in Christ who went public with their faith in Jesus through baptism, Consherel Mertz and Andrew Kohlstock. Amen. Amen. God used the steady witness of Karen Buchholz for Consherel and the parenting of Mike and Emily Kohlstock for Andrew, as well as, of course, the broader ministries of this local church. And he made two new creations in Christ over this last year. And I'd like for us to recognize that for what it is. It's a stone-cold miracle. Over the last several years, Consherel and Andrew have been growing in their knowledge of God, their knowledge of their indwelling sin, and their knowledge, most importantly, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which reconciles and renews and revives sinners. By God's grace, Consherel and Andrew openly confess the Christ. They hate their sin, they're walking the walk, and they love the church. And we couldn't be happier about it. That is good news. Now for the bad news. The bad news is that conversion growth is not a strength of our church. Does that surprise anybody here? I'll be quick to add that conversion growth is hardly a strength of any church that I know of. And that would include the largest congregations in the Twin Cities today. I know them all. I've got friends at them all. You say, well, wait a minute. How'd they get so big? Well, most of the growth in larger churches, most of the vast growth in larger churches is what we might call transfer growth. Transfer growth. Believers church shopping, church hopping from one congregation to another. In addition, many churches are filled to overflowing with unconverted people. Men, women, boys, and girls who have not been born again. Now, on the face of it, that's wonderful. That truth, we want unconverted people among us. I'd be the first to say that. We want unbelievers in the midst of our fellowship on a Sunday morning, at community group, however we meet. We want unbelievers in our mix. But what's tragic is when such persons go totally unvetted into the waters of baptism, which happens routinely, or they're shuffled through an inadequate membership process, which happens frequently, or worse yet, welcomed into the very leadership of the church. It happens. Pastors who are not converted. I had a friend back in Chicago who was a pastor as an unbeliever. He became a Christian as a pastor and then realized that God hadn't called him to the ministry, and left his charge and became a Christian counselor. He's now retired. So in this church, we sweat the details. We are unapologetic about this. We desire conversion growth. Remember, there's about 25,000 people in the broader West Tonka area, 25,000 people within a 10-minute drive of this church building. The vast majority of these folks don't know the Lord, and most of them are not a part of any local church anywhere. And you know that's the case if you're rubbing shoulders with folks in the West Tonka area. It's an increasingly de-churched area. And most of them are not looking for a church. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to go to them. They're not going to come to us. We go to them. The Great Commission doesn't say, wait for them to come to you. The Great Commission says, they ain't coming to you. Go to them. I hope you have a list of five. Raise your hand if you have one. We've got a bunch of them in Fellowship Hall on a morning like this. Now, keep your hands raised if you could name all five people on your list of five from memory right now. I won't ask you to do it, but okay, good. Keep your hand raised if you are seeking to find creative ways to move into the relationships with these folks. Okay, keep your hand raised if all five of these people live in the West Tonka area. Okay, look around. It's getting smaller. Keep your hand raised if you've ever invited any of these five into your home or to a community group or to this worship service or Wednesday evening meal. Okay. It's starting to get smaller. I want that image to burn into you right now this morning. That's what's going on with relationship to conversion growth to some degree. Now, I also want to encourage you. This first goal, 50 baptized believers, if we get serious about it, and I hope I don't hear any chuckles, but this goal, this could be met by this time next year. Now, how? Well, it's not rocket science. By each one reaching one. We're aiming for 50. We have two, which means we're looking for 48. Which I think was the average attendance of Christmas and New Year's on Sunday morning, if I'm not mistaken. About 48 to 50 or so, 55 people. We have more than that here today. If everybody from our fellowship has a list of five, and we are committed to prayer, care, and share Jesus with them over the course of this next year, don't you think that the Lord would be gracious enough to give you one person on that list by January 2018? I think he would. And you know how it works in this church. If you lead them to Jesus, you get to baptize them. I don't know if you saw Mike's face when he baptized Andrew or Karen's when she brought Contrarelle into the water, but that is a rush that I don't want anybody to miss in this church. You ought to have the joy in your lifetime of baptizing another human being that you had the opportunity to lead to faith in Christ. And so that is something that may encourage you as well. You can have that joy. You can have it this year. So get on your knees for your list of five. Move your feet toward your list of five, and then open your mouth to your list of five. Say a good word for Jesus. Imagine if everybody caught this evangelistic vision in our church, not just this year, but 2018, 2019, we would baptize scores of men and women, boys and girls, over the next 36 months. I'm not giving up hope on this. I will die before I do that. So members of Mount Free Church, if you know the good news of Jesus Christ, if you know the good news of Jesus Christ, I charge you this day and over 2017, don't be stingy with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you have the gospel right? Excellent. I'm so glad. Now get the gospel out. Second goal, welcoming 40 covenant members. Number two, welcoming 40 covenant members. We will cycle through these a little more quickly. What's a covenant member, you ask? Well, it's a baptized adult member of the body of Christ who is eager to take the following oath-bound commitment in love. And if you were to ask, well, where is covenant membership in the New Testament? I would say, well, 1 John 4:7 is a good starting place. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. And if that's not persuasive to you, then perhaps as I read our covenant, the more than 20 passages of the New Testament that are cited here, most of our covenant is pure scripture. That's all it is. This is the Mount Evangelical Free Church membership covenant. It reads like this. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord, Savior, and supreme treasure of our lives, baptized as a visible and tangible expression of the gospel, and seeking to desire to fully engage in this church's mission to be and make disciples of Jesus, we do now most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another. With God's gracious help, as fellow members of this local church, zealous to manifest the work of the gospel in our lives, we will love one another with brotherly affection. Consider others more significant than ourselves. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be at peace with one another. Speak the truth to one another. Confess our sins to one another. Instruct one another. Build one another up. Seek to do good to one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. And offer hospitality to one another with a glad heart. Furthermore, as an expression of our sincere desire to support the vitality of the ministries of this fellowship, we eagerly resolve to attend weekly worship gatherings, confirm and nourish our faith in the taking of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, participate in community group life, discover and deploy our spiritual gifts in loving service, contribute cheerfully and sacrificially of our financial resources to the advance of the gospel through this local church, obey our leaders and seek to hold them accountable for their leadership, and engage in personal evangelism with those within our sphere of influence. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Close quote. Now you ask, well, how many folks have put their signature to that over the past 2 years? Answer, 34. 34. Now, 27 of us were members of this church prior to 2017, or 2015, excuse me. So for the purposes of the 2020 vision, we're not counting that group. Okay? That would be too easy. What we are counting is the number of folks who have joined our covenant membership over the last 24 months. That's the operative number we're pressing toward. And that number is 7. Andrew Harmon, Peggy Benz, Lorraine Scheneker, Terry Kruger, Diane Kruger, Kenny Graves, and Shane Kruger. And by God's grace, by the end of the month, Lord willing, congregation willing, we'll also welcome John and Sue Strabicki, as well as Stephen and Jocelyn Picking into covenant membership, bringing that number to about 11. Not about 11, 11. There's no abouts. These are people. That's worth rejoicing over, isn't it? Our church covenant, while eminently biblical, you have to admit, is not for the faint of heart. Right? It's not. We've said it before in this church. We are not looking for spiritual kindergartners. We're looking for spiritual Navy SEALs. Join us. And if this covenant doesn't threaten but rather thrills you, I urge you to come and talk to your pastors and elders over the next weeks or months. It would be our joy to sit down with you and determine if covenant membership is right for you. And while this goal is making progress, it obviously hasn't been realized. But God helping us, by January 2020, we'll be there. I'm confident we will be, actually. Third goal, raising up 30 reproducing leaders. Reproducing leaders. What's that? 2 Timothy 2:2 describes it well. 2 Timothy 2:2, the Apostle Paul appeals to his apostolic associate Timothy, and he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 2:2 embodies what we mean when we speak of reproducing leaders. This text notes four generations of discipleship. Paul trains Timothy, Timothy trains others, who in turn train others. The way that we say it in our 2020 vision booklet is that a reproducing leader is a man or a woman who can take another Christian under their wing for, say, 3 years or so, 36 months. I mean, that's all Jesus had with the disciples, right? 3 years. And over that space of time, you give that younger believer everything. Everything you know about Jesus, everything that you're becoming through Jesus, and everything you can possibly do to help them to grow in their likeness to Jesus, equipping them for ministry and pointing them toward service. A reproducing leader is a believer who, by God's grace, can transfer their Christian convictions and their Christian character and their Christian ministry competencies to another person, who can in turn do that for another person. I can't tell you the sweetness of saying this while Seth is preaching in Wisconsin right now. This is so wonderful. We've got our fingerprints all over this man, and now he's putting fingerprints on another congregation. It's really sweet. Now, as we've alluded to, for a smaller sized church, we are ripe with this sort of leaders, disproportionately so. Over 2016, in addition to myself, we've seen Seth Brickley, Guy Runkel, and Terry Kruger all take on other men for the purposes of one-on-one discipleship for this sort of ministry. This is an incredibly encouraging development, and while it's not yet 30, it's something to celebrate. And over this next year, we tend to get very intentional for the purposes of selecting and equipping mentors and more reproducing leaders out of our covenant membership, especially, and hear me, especially among our women. When we say 30 reproducing leaders, I have in mind 15 men, 15 women. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:2, Titus chapter 2, both speak of men and women mentoring others like this. Our church is blessed with an increasing number of godly, wise, mature women in the faith who could very easily today take another woman under their care, one-on-one discipling. In fact, our first training meeting along these lines is only about 2 weeks away. We plan to gather a group of reproducing leaders as well as covenant, as well as community group leaders for a time of strategizing as well as intentional discipleship so that this really gets a kickstart at the beginning of 2017. Well, speaking of community group leaders, let's take a look at the fourth goal. Launching 10 community groups. Number four, launching 10 community groups. For the sake of time, we're only going to pay passing attention to this goal, but I want to acknowledge it. Over the last several years, our church has launched 8 community groups that meet on a regular basis to this day for the purposes of studying Scripture together, praying for one another, sharing meals alongside each other, and just genuinely being in each other's lives for the purpose of Christian fellowship and encouragement, opening our lives to one another. We find this pattern woven into the fabric of the early church of Jesus from the earliest days, where Luke tells us in Acts 2:42 that they, that is the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Acts 2:42 alone is a mandate for small groups, for community groups in the life of the church. And while we did have one group disseminate over the course of 2016, that's true. One group is no longer meeting together as a group. It's also true that the Lord has enabled us to issue an invitation to and place each of these people into another group. Now, that's nearly each and every person from that original group has found a new group. All of them have been invited to be a part of groups and will continue to be. And since the casting of the 2020 vision, we've seen another two groups become seriously committed to one another, and that would be the Ladies Bible Study led by Brenda Runkel, as well as the Thursday evening community group that is currently led by Seth Brickley. So we have 8 yet to see launched, right? 2 of the 10. But once again, if we consider the power of multiplication, it is not hard to see how this would become a reality over the next 3 years. Here's what it means. Each of our community groups giving birth to one more group over the next 3 years. Don't you think that could happen? Yeah. Easily. With God's help, this is doable. This is achievable. I think we're going to see it happen. So 10 community groups by 2020. Fifth goal, establishing the Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling with 5 certified counselors. Establishing the Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling with 5 certified counselors. Every Church of Jesus Christ is a counseling center. But we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ is calling us to actually have a counseling center. And 2016 was an enormous step forward for us in this regard, and I want to pay attention to it. First of all, over this past year, it was our joy and privilege to celebrate with Kara Kaler in her achievement of becoming our church's first certified biblical counselor through a national organization known as the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, ACBC. Mentioned that during the announcements. And not only is Kara our church's first certified biblical counselor, Kara Kaler is also the only certified biblical counselor in the entire West Tonka area. And I would add to that, Kara is nearly the only certified biblical counselor in the entire Twin Cities West Metro. I say nearly because there's one other, Dale Stinson, who's a dear brother of ours, who is the director of a ministry down the road in Minnetrista known as Redemption House. Dale was with us a couple of years ago on one particular Sunday, and Dale has agreed to become a coach and a consultant for our counseling center. So not only will Kara be one of our first counselors, but Dale will continue as a coach into the days ahead for us. Now, these are not alone. They are certified biblical counselors in the Twin Cities Metro, but in time, over these next 3 years, we plan to see Andy Kaler, Matt and Ashley Hendrickson, as well as Guy and Brenda Runkle and me, become certified biblical counselors as well. All of us, to some degree or another, have begun our training, whether through Faith Church Lafayette or through the ministry of Central Baptist Theological Seminary. In addition, we have folks in our church, like I mentioned earlier, who take part in the training, who aren't pursuing certification right now, but are simply doing it for their own Christian growth, just so that they might be more effective disciples of Jesus. And that would include Karen Buchholz and Contrell Mertz and Lorraine Scheniker. Might this number include you this spring? I think it might. As you heard during our announcements, the training for biblical counseling is happening this winter and spring at Grace Church in Eden Prairie. Last year, 8 of us attended the conference together. I think aside from Grace Church in Eden Prairie, we might have been a church that had more than anybody there, which again is striking given the size of our fellowship. You think God might be doing something here with this? So if you're interested in becoming a certified counselor or simply to lay hold of this training, I encourage you to do so. Come and talk to me or talk to Kara. We'll get you registered. We'd be thrilled to have you in 2017 for the counseling conference. So Mount Free Church, this single goal alone, when it's achieved, will transform not only our church, but we hope the broader West Tonka area as we offer counseling free of charge to the city of Mound and Spring Park and Minnetrista, Navarre and Orono and Shorewood and Tonka Bay and Minnetonka Beach. We believe that God is calling our church to go deep and hang in long with people through biblical, gospel-centered, spirit-empowered soul care. As a congregation, we are committed to sustaining and healing and reconciling and guiding saints and sinners alike through the power of the gospel, using the wisdom of the scriptures as they point us to the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ. It is our rock-solid conviction that the gospel offers us a comprehensive rescue for our lives, regardless of the nature of our struggle, whether that is suffering or anxiety or grief or addiction or marriage or parenting or much more. So please be in prayer for this aspect of the 2020 vision. The Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling is not an if, it's a when. And my hope is sooner rather than later. I think by God's grace, this goal will be met prior to January 2020. That's what I'm counting on. Let's turn to our sixth goal. Commissioning 2 families for global missions. Commissioning 2 families for global missions. Our church currently supports 6 missionary families globally. The Bryces with North American Indigenous Ministries, the Stouts with Send International, the Hutchcrafts with Send International, and then we currently help to support three EFCA Reach Global Missionary Families. EFCA is our denomination, Evangelical Free Church of America, and those families would be the Blisses and the Brogans and the Lees. Now here's what's encouraging. Half of these six families have come out of our fellowship already. The Bryces a long time ago, out of the context of our church, and the Stouts and the Hutchcrafts over the last decade. Half of these missionary families consider our church their home church. And God helping us, that's what we believe He will commission us to do over the next 3 years. So this is a good morning to ask. I wonder if God is calling you to overseas missions. Is God calling you to the unreached and to the unengaged peoples of this earth? If the answer to that question, well, the answer to that question is yes, actually. Period. Yes, He is. Because in one sense, God is calling all of us to overseas missions. You know, there's three options, right, for a Christian with regard to global missions. There is go, there is send, and then there is disobey. And since that last one is really not a live option for us who want to honor Jesus, we're back on the first two. Are you a goer or are you a sender? Which are you? And I tell you this, every goer started as a sender and then an explorer. Then you begin to do little short-term ministry trips and you begin to get a vision for this, and then your center of gravity begins to shift to another culture or to another people. Are you a goer or a sender? Don't be a disobeyer. So which are you? I hope that you're one or the other. I truly believe God has at least two households for us. He is currently perhaps in our covenant membership or maybe in the covenant membership of the next year. That he is uprooting from our fellowship. He's shaking them loose and He's going to send them out and we're going to support them while not missing a beat with our other missionary families. A big part of this goal is to shore up the support, financial and prayer support of our other six families, and then send out these two. So is this you? Is this your family? Revelation 5:9 proclaims that Christ has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. He's already ransomed them. All that's left to do is go out and get them. So will you? Or will you help to send them? We're praying that 3 years from now, you will be prepared to go. Two of you anyway. We'll commission two families for overseas missions. Okay, seventh and final goal, and we're done. Planting one church. Planting one church. Now, this goal, admittedly right now, I freely embrace, appears to be the most obviously furthest from materializing. I know that. But believe me, I'll tell you what. This church began as a church plant, too. Planted off of our sister church, Calvary Memorial, in Navarre, April 1944. It was Easter. This Easter, we turn 73 years old as a congregation. We'll be a 73-year-old bride. And our church has been privileged to do many things over the years. We have carried the gospel to the West Tonka area for a long time and beyond globally. And for that, we have much to praise God. But in all those years, there is one thing our church has never had the joy of doing. And that would be becoming a parent to a baby church. It's never happened. We've never given birth to a baby. But mark my words, we will. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But we will. This past year, your elders already began consulting with Dan Moose, who serves as the Director of Church Planting for the North Central District of the Evangelical Free Church of America. We're on our district's map. They know of our desire to plant and are beginning to help us think through strategy as well as location. Dan, who has planted several churches, said it is not too early for a church like ours to begin to consider what this looks like, to be prepared to birth a baby in the days ahead. We know what we need to do. I have several friends who are successful church planting pastors throughout the Twin Cities. And you may wonder, like, what's the magic number? Like, how many people are we looking to send out of this fellowship? You know what the magic number is? 12 households. And to be crass, 12 incomes, okay? Because a pastor and his family have to live somehow. 12 incomes, 12 households, and then on top of that, the 13th is the church planting pastor and his family. My friend Andrew Peterson, who planted City Vision Church in Minneapolis and merged with St. Louis Park Evangelical Free Church, now they are Park Community Church, Andrew said, it's 12. And he is a church planting pastor who began his church with 12. So did my buddy Tom Starkjohn out in Winstead, and I could list many, many others. 12 families, 12 incomes is enough. It's actually more than enough. If you are generous and sacrificial financially, that's more than enough to support a pastor and his family. Imagine over the next 3 years, if God were to raise up in our midst another Seth Brickley. Can't he do that? Yes, he can. In fact, he did. And I think he is. 12 families, at least 12, and we send our best, our most mature, our most generous, and yes, our craziest families that would forego a mortgage in the Lake Minnetonka area to move to a place that's not the Lake Minnetonka area. Yes, I believe that's going to happen. And if you don't think that God would do that for us, then you don't know him very well. I read in my devotions this past week where God asked Sarah this question in Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's a good question for us. It is especially a good question for us. We, like Sarah, are an old woman, 73 years of age, never had a baby. And what did God do for Sarah? Do you believe that Mount Evangelical Free Church can plant another church in 3 years' time? 12 families with one pastor and his family? Of course, Jesus says in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. I assure you. But with him, through him, in him, Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. God's question for Sarah is incredibly fitting for us. He caused her to conceive, and he is the same God today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we really plant a church in 3 years? I'll answer that question with a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Which leaves only one more question, which is, how can I be a part of this? How can I be a part of the 2020 vision? There's three practical applications, and let your imagination run wild with each of these. But number one, pray for and pursue your list of five with abandon. Don't hold anything back this year. What do you have to lose if you belong to Jesus? The worst they can do is kill you. And it's not going to happen in this country. You know, we don't face a raised machete in this country. We don't face a raised fist in this country. You know what we face? Raised eyebrows. Okay? That should not keep you from sharing the gospel with people on your list of five. So pray for and pursue your list of five with abandon. Second, invite folks on your list of five in this order into your home, into your community group, to our Wednesday evening meal. That's what it's for. Into our counseling ministries. Into our Sunday morning worship gatherings. Invite folks. Just live a life of invitation. Statistics will say that most people will come if invited to church, one time at least. They will. They will. And if they're on your list of five and you're praying for them and you know them and you love them, they'll come. They'll come. Maybe it's first to your home. Maybe it's to your community group. Maybe it's Wednesday evening meal. Maybe it's counseling opportunities. Maybe it's Sunday morning. But invite folks on your list of five into your life. And third, ask the Lord about your next step in our vision. Ask the Lord about your next step in our vision. It may be that you just think you're tapping out at number one. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a believer, and woohoo, you know? Well, there's another step after that. He might want you to go for covenant membership. And you say, you know what? I've arrived. I'm a spiritual Navy SEAL. I'm a covenant member. Ha ha. Well, maybe he's got leadership for you, right? And not just leadership, but maybe leadership of a community group. And not just a community group. Perhaps he is preparing you for soul care, one-on-one care and cure of the human soul through our Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling. Maybe he doesn't want to keep you here. Some of you, he doesn't. He has no use for you in the future here. He has use for you overseas. Maybe he'll keep you here, but keep you in the broader Twin Cities as we plant a church. I don't know what he's going to do, but just ask the Lord about your next step in our vision. Well, let's sum up. The mission of Bound Free Church is to be and make disciples of Jesus. Therefore, our 2020 vision is to glorify God as a gospel-centered church family by celebrating and demonstrating and communicating the good news of Jesus Christ among all people, by baptizing 50 new believers, welcoming 40 covenant members, raising up 30 reproducing leaders, 15 men, 15 women, launching 10 community groups, establishing the Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling, commissioning 2 families for global missions, and planting 1 church. This is our 2020 vision. How can you be a part of it? Pray for and pursue your list of 5 with abandon. Invite folks into your home, community group, Wednesday evening meal, counseling ministries, Sunday morning worship gatherings. And furthermore, be committed routinely to asking the Lord about your next step in our vision. So please hear me as we close. This is the last thing I want to say. You said it. I already said that. I know. But this is the last thing I want to say. 2017 is the year that makes an indelible impact on the future of our church. I guarantee it. I'm going on 12 years here. There is no year like this one. This summer, we will cross the 2.5-year mark of our 2020 vision. We'll be halfway through. And understand this, the momentum generated by 2017, for better or for worse, will totally influence the last 2.5 years. It will set the course for the last 24 months of our vision. By God's grace, 2017 could be an extraordinary year in the life of our church. But we can't sit back to see how it goes. It's not going to be achieved that way. The 2020 vision is not a spectator sport. If you are in alignment with the mission of our church to be and make disciples of Jesus, and you consider this your home church, then I want to ask you, how are you getting in the game? What are you doing to push the ball forward for the 2020 vision over 2017? This new year, it's a fresh season in the life of our church, and God's grace has led us to this point, and we are depending upon his grace like never before for what he has for us over these next 12 months. Will you go there with us? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for their patience. Thank you for their listening ears. Father, I ask that you would take this vision, and insofar as it is biblical, insofar as it pleases you, I pray that you would do the miraculous work of pressing it home into each of our lives in ways that I couldn't even dream. I pray that you would do, as Paul says in Ephesians 3, immeasurably more than anything we could ever ask or think. Lord, do we have these numbers right in the 2020 vision? I don't have the foggiest idea. They might be too low in some cases. So I pray that you would help us to adjust our expectations accordingly and hang on to you, Lord Jesus, as you lead us into this new year. May we, Lord, give everything we have this year to opening our lives to the unbelievers all around us, living lives of invitation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.